This week's Parsha, it's Parsha Pekudei, but instead of a drasha, I wanted to do this week just small, brief ideas from last week's Parsha Vayakel and this week's Parsha Pekudei. First idea, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Aleph, the beginning of Parsha Vayakel, the verse writes, Vayakel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael, and Moshe assembled the entire assembly of the children of Israel. And he tells them about Shabbos and the construction of the tabernacle, the Mishkan. So the Or HaChaim of the 18th century, Rav Chaim ibn Attar, he asks, why did Moshe Rabbeinu need to gather the Jewish people? The colloquial phrase, Vayidbar Hashem Moshe Lemor, and Moses spoke to the people saying, why did Moses need to gather the Jewish people instead of just speaking to them the way he always did? So the Or HaChaim answers in the previous Parsha, Parshat Ki Tisa, the Jewish people saw that Moshe's his countenance, his face, glowed to the point where he was forced to put on a masveh, like a mask or a veil, atop his face. The people were so awed by Moshe that they could not come close to him. And Hashem said, my glow is relevant, and you too can achieve such glow as well. There's these famous Gedolim pictures of tzaddikim that were taken in their prime. There's a photo of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik from 100 years ago. It's a very hard photo to find of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. But there's this one photo with his legs folded and the glasses on the bridge of his nose. And it became his passport photo. Because the story was, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was sick and he was going to travel from Poland to Berlin to see the doctor. And in the end, he didn't wind up going. But he had to have a photo created for him to make the trek. And that's the only reason why we have this photo of him. He made it for a passport. So the family members of Rav Soloveitchik say that he never even needed glasses, but his eyes were so penetrating that it sometimes intimidated people. And he would wear the glasses to put people at ease. So too, Moshe told Bnei Yisrael, don't be nervous. Moshe reached that level. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had a glow. And we should recognize that, embrace it, try to make it part of us as well. Perhaps, according to the Or HaChaim, that's why Moshe needed to gather the Jewish people instead of speaking to them directly. That gathering, it's almost like putting on the glasses of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Next idea, in the very next Pasuk, Bet Sheshes Yamim Te'aseh Melacha, Uv'yom HaShviyi Yeh Lachem Kodesh Shabbat Shabbaton LaHashem. Right? So 6 days of work is Te'aseh. Really, it's a passive construct. It's not 6 days of work you shall do. Rather, on six days, work may be done. Work is passively done during 6 days, right? It doesn't say ta'aseh, which means do it. Rather, te'aseh, done on its own right. So why is the pasuk phrased this way? So Rav Shlomo Gansfried, the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, wrote in his Apirion. The Apirion actually is his commentary on the Chumash. And he writes that it's hard to come to the level of fully resting on Shabbos. If somebody believes that he runs his own finances, telling him not to work one day a week is like taking a 1/7 of a pay cut, which is very hard to do. But if one believes that his parnasa is te'aseh, it's predetermined from Hashem, then it does not matter how many days one works. Resting becomes much easier. The Chafetz Chaim, there's a story, the Chafetz Chaim was alerted that somebody in Russia was keeping his business open on Shabbos. The Chafetz Chaim responded, close the business. And the storekeeper said, no, I'm sorry. I make 4,000 rubles a day, and you're telling me I have to give away 1/7 of my parnasa? No way. The Chafetz Chaim responds, Sheshes Yamim Te'aseh. Doesn't matter. The store owner did not listen, and he wound up losing his business to the Bolsheviks. Interestingly, the next topic in the Sidra, in the Parsha, is about Truma, giving dedications. Perhaps this is the message. Moshe is telling Bnei Yisrael, the money that you made, the Te'aseh, you worked hard for 6 days, and on day seven, it's all passive. You have to just trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe is telling the Jewish people, the money you have now is from Hashem. And now, what should you do with this money you worked so hard for 6 days a week? You should dedicate it. You should dedicate it to the Mishkan. Perhaps that's why working for 6 days and giving truma, giving that tzedakah, are juxtaposed one to the next. The next topic, Pasuk Hei in Perek Lamed Hei. It says, Kachu meitchem truma, famous pasuk, take from yourselves truma, a portion, and dedicate it. famous question is, why does the verse say, Kechume itchem truma, take from yourself truma? No, we all give tzedakah, right? It should be tenu me itchem truma. Give, why kechu, why take? So there's a famous story of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He needed to raise money for his Volozhin yeshiva. And he went to a town to raise the money. And back then, the rabbi went to the house and said, look, I'm here to raise, I'm here to fundraise. And generally, then it was the gabbai who went door-to-door collecting, while the rabbi himself settled into the house and would learn Torah throughout the visit. So 10 days later, Rav Chaim says to his gabbai, knew what's happening. The gabbai tells him, we're halfway there. Okay. 10 more days, the Rav inquires, and the gabbai tells Rav Chaim, we're all set, we have it all. Great. So they took the money, and they both returned to Volozhin together. So a few months later, the gabbai walks in with a very wealthy man from that original town they visited. And the wealthy man said, I want to give more to Volozhin. And Rav Chaim was confused. He said, I don't understand. When we came to visit, I thought you pledged everything you had. But you suddenly have more money out of nowhere you want to give? We were just there a couple of weeks ago. So the person responded to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik by saying, you see, when your gabbai came collecting, I could have given it all at once, but I didn't want to, because I wanted to give tzedakah with a full heart. And I was unsure how to give my hard-earned money away with real earnestness, with real passion and zeal. I want to make sure that I gave all this tzedakah with a lev shalem, a full heart. And when I finally felt that I truly wanted to do it, here I am now, giving the rest of it. That's why, perhaps, the pasuk says, "Kechu meitchem truma," take from yourselves truma, as opposed to tznu, as opposed to give. Because by taking from oneself, it's showing that you really have to work on yourself to have that lev shalem, that full heart. Only then can you truly give of yourself. Because giving from yourself really is taking from oneself. Finally, after Moshe's speech, the entire assembly, they left before Moshe. Pasuk Kaf in Perek Lamed Hay, it says, Vayitzu kol adat b'nei Yisrael mifnei Moshe. And the entire assembly of B'nai Yisrael left Moses' presence. So Rav Elia Lopian, in his Lev Eliyahu, asks, why does it need to say B'nai Yisrael all left? Why is it so critical to make a verse in the Torah? So Rav Lopian's answer is that they left the presence of Moshe. In this instance, one could tell where they had just been. Sometimes you can glance upon somebody. You know, you see someone walking out all sweaty and a bit of a quick heart rate. You can tell they were, you know, just in the gym. They're in their workout clothes. Someone comes back after a week with a very big tan. Okay, they probably were in a Caribbean island, right? It's easily discernible where these individuals just came from. So too, says Rav Elia Lopian, it was very comprehensible that the Jewish people were sufficiently inspired by Moshe. You can tell by just looking at their faces, they were changed. And this is why the pasuk stresses this, to hang around with good company, and if God willing, will leave a lasting impression. Okay, next idea, Perek Lamed Hey, pasuk Chaf Zayin, says, V'anisim heviu et avnei Hashem, et avnei miluim, laifod v'lachoshen. So the princes, the Nisi'im, they brought the precious stones. But the word Nisi'im in the Pasuk is missing the letter Yud. There's no Yud in Nisi'im. It's just Nun, Sin, Aleph, Mem. Where is that Yud in Nisi'im? So Rashi says, Nisi'im, the princes said, we'll sit back and we'll observe. Moshe, whatever you're missing at the end of the construction of the tabernacle, we'll take out our checkbooks, give you whatever is missing. But everything was given, though. The only thing left were the precious gemstones. So the Nisim paid for the gemstones. So on one hand, it's a good thing that, you know, you're always going to have that ace in the hole, that matching gift to give you that backup funding. But Rashi says, no, there was an issue. The issue is that the Nisim were lazy in the beginning. They did nothing from the get-go. And although ultimately, sure, it's commendable, they paid for the gemstones, the Avnei Shalom, the Avnei Miluim, but initially it was frowned upon. So perhaps the message of Rashi here is to, you know, is to be zealous and to be forthright and to try to give up front, not to say when 90% of the pot is filled, then I'll give whatever is left at the end. Rather, no. The Nesi'im should have had the steadfastness and the zriza, the alacrity, in which to be the first ones to give and to show that they were lacking in their intent. They are lacking the yud within their names. Okay, Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Lamed now. The verse says, Vayomer Moshe al Bnei Yisrael. Moshe says to the children of Israel, Re'u kara Hashem b'shem Bitzalel. See, Hashem is proclaimed by name, Bitzalel. Okay? So how are we going to turn all these materials into a Mishkan? Who's the answer? It's Bitzalel. So the question is, why does the Pasuk say, Re'u, look, see? Why do we need to say, see, Hashem appointed Bitzalel? Just, you know, here's Bitzalel, who's going to build the Mishkan. So the Ramban addresses this question. And the Ramban says, to construct the Mishkan, you needed to be an expert in jewelry, an expert in carpentry, and an expert in weaving. And it could take years to become an expert in even one of these fields. Yet Bitzalel, at such a young age, was proficient in all three. Plus, he was a slave in Egypt, where he had no time to perfect his craft. So the only explanation of such a phenomenon to become an expert in jewelry, carpentry, and weaving is Re'u. See, Hashem has given us all we need to succeed, even if it makes no logical sense. It can be because Hashem grants it to be. Hashem gave him and each and every one of us capabilities to build our own Mishkan at our own basic level. So that's it for the Parsha Vayakel ideas. Let's jump into some Parsha Pekudei. First idea is from Baruch Simon, from his Imre Baruch, his Sefer on the Parsha. It says in Perek Lamed Tet, Pasuk Lamed Gibel, chapter 39, verse 33, Vayaviu et ha-Mishkan al Moshe et ha-Ol ve'et kol kelav. And they, the Jewish people, brought the Mishkan to Moshe, the tent, all its utensils, etc. The question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu make the Jewish people bring all the accounting to him? He should have gone out to the people instead. Now it seems almost haughty. So Baruch Simon says that there was a potential in going out to the people. By doing so, Moshe would have had to prioritize, who does he visit first? Does he visit the Nesi'im first? Does he visit another tribe first? Which tribe would come first? Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to cause jealousy or factions in Klal Yisrael. And because of that, Vayaviu et ha-Mishkan al Moshe. The Jewish people brought the Mishkan to Moshe. So following the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, Moshe saw the inspection, and it passed. And on that pasuk, Rashi brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Jewish people a bracha, right there before the construction. Rashi says, the bracha, that may the Shechina dwell within your handiwork. The problem is, Hashem already said, make for me a Mishkan, and I will dwell within your handiwork. That's the bracha. So what is this other bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving instead of Hashem? Shouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu just be happy with the bracha HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people for the Mishkan? Why is Moshe giving an additional bracha to the Mishkan? So the Ksav Sofer brings down this question, and he says that the bracha that Moshe gives over is different than Hashem's bracha, right? How so? That may it be Hashem's will to dwell in your handiwork. So the Ksav Sofer says, you have to read it a bit differently. Ksav Sofer says, not God's will, but our will, the Jewish people's will. It's one thing for Hashem to dwell within us. It's another thing for us to want Hashem to dwell within us. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha is for the yachid, for the individual. V'shachanti b'tocham, the one that God gives, that's for Hashem to dwell within the Mishkan, in the plural. While this Yehi Ratzon is in the singular. We need to want Hashem to dwell within us individually. Another idea, Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Chet. It says in the Pasuk, Vayakem Moshe et ha-Mishkan, Vayitena Adonam, Vayasem et Krasha, Vayitena Bracha, etc. And Moshe picked up or raised up the Mishkan. He put in its sockets and placed it with its planks, inserted the bars, etc. So Moshe, he's basically constructing the Mishkan at this point. He puts the beams in the sockets, the cross beams, you name it. So the Sforno brings down that Moshe erecting the Mishkan does not mean that he just physically picked it up. Rather, it means that he had a very unique order when he set up the Mishkan. It means here, the word Mishkan, right, it's a Sforno, it means the panels of the tapestry. Just to break it down. So we had 10 panels made of animal hides. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He first lifts the tapestries, like the curtains, if you would, and then he puts under them, under the tapestries, the sockets, and then he put the wood in to hold the tapestry with the sockets. And then he put the wood, the cross beams, down. So what's the obvious question? Why did Moshe put the tapestries up first? It's literally like building a sukkah and just starting with the fabric. You're setting the fabric up, and then you're asking someone to just hold it there for the next 3 hours while you build the wooden beams and sockets around it. The fabric should come last. Why did the fabric come first? So the Shemi Shmuel answers this question. He says that it's human nature that if there's something that we feel is out of our grasp, we're probably, in human nature, we're not going to attempt to do it. Right? We're not going to attempt to jump over a gorge when we can hardly, you know, jump across the room. But Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us, nonetheless, that if we do attempt something, we have the ability to succeed. What does that mean exactly? So the Shemi Shmuel breaks it down. In terms of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe understood that the Jewish people were not ready to leave Egypt. The Jewish nation were on the 49th level of impurity of Tumah, but Hashem had Har Sinai in his mind, and we grew into that target goal. If you challenge somebody, sure, why not? We could step up to the plate if it's something that Hashem really feels we could conquer and overcome. As an example, if you take regarding Shabbos, when it comes to saying Kiddush, so we learned that the main meal, both meals are important, but if you had to do one meal Friday night or Shabbat day, what's the more ikker, the more essential meal? It's the day meal. And that's technically how we fulfill the pasuk of Zachar, Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho. So you would think that's when we're feeling the high, we're performing the mitzvah in its greater glory, if you would. And Kiddush should only be done during the day. But Chazal, our sages, said no. Make Kiddush at night as well, when it's more of a challenge to connect. You may be tired, it's a long day. Things that are seemingly implausible or impossible could become plausible and possible with Hashem's help. Just as a sidebar, I mean, the Mishkan, as was constructed in the desert, was the greatest, most concentrated form of Shekhinah that existed. As long as Bnei Israel were not moving, it was constant. Even the first temple was not as present, and for the second temple, there was no Aaron, there was no Luchot, with even less Shekhinah, less divine presence. But ironically, the Mishkan, the original tabernacle, was the cheapest to build. The first temple was more expensive, and the second temple, I mean, King Herod's temple, that was a magnificent edifice to see. Sometimes people think Hashem wants the glamour, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks into our hearts more than into our pockets. A couple more brief ideas. Perek Lamed Chet, Pasuk Chaf Zayin. The Pasuk says that each of the Adanim, each of the sockets, was 100 kikar in value. So the Chiddush Yerim, he says that these 100 sockets, these 100 Adanim, were at the base of the Mishkan. And so too, we have the responsibility to make 100 brachot per day. It's a very interesting hint from the Pasuk. One final idea from Perek Lamed Tet, Pasuk Zayin, on the verse, Vayasem Otam Al Kitvot HaEfod Avnei Zikron Livnei Yisrael. So we're talking about how Moshe Rabbeinu placed the 12 gemstones on the shoulder straps of the ephod as a zikaron for Bnei Israel. So the Meshech Chachma, he asks the question, what's the zikaron of these 12 stones corresponding to the 12 shvatim, the 12 tribes? What is the remembrance? Why is it called the Avnei Zikaron? So it was for the Jewish people to recognize that they are seen by God himself. The Kohen Gadol, the high priest, wears this garment and carries them on his body as he enters the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. So when a person knows that Hashem sees him in all faculties and all aspects of life, then as I'm sure we all know, when we're being scrutinized or when we're even being watched, then we all will logically behave differently in a more proper and better demeanor and manner. With that being said, wishing everyone a Shabbat Shalom, a Shabbat Chazak, and Bezrat Hashem, this Parsha should only help foster more happiness in the month of Adar, and Bezrat Hashem, we should only have smachot in our lives for not only ourselves, but our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and for all of Klal Yisrael around the world. Shabbat Shalom.